This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We'll have an update on what to expect next if this very tight results of the Kentucky governor's race head towards a legal battle. But first, we go to Washington, D.C. for perspective on this ongoing impeachment inquiry of President Trump. Joining us on the phone from the Capitol is Ohio Congressman Warren Davidson. He's a Republican who represents the state's 8th congressional district, the district that includes Butler and other counties that surround the city of Dayton and Montgomery County. Congressman Davidson, thanks for taking some time with us today.
Thanks, Michael.
The Republican members of the House of Representatives made themselves quite clear with their complete unanimous vote against the resolution to establish the framework for this ongoing impeachment inquiry. And the Republican members clearly oppose that framework. And we wanted to have you on to express your perspective on that.
Yeah, thanks for the question and the opportunity. And you know, when you launch an impeachment inquiry, that's a pretty big deal. It's not been done often in states, but Democrats have attempted to do it 4 times. Against President Trump, there was a vote in 2017, a vote in 2018, a vote in 2019 after the Mueller report, and then a vote on October 31st. So finally, they got 231, enough to move forward with an official impeachment inquiry. But if you contrast that impeachment inquiry, that was launched with a vote of 4-10-4. So a clear, compelling, bipartisan thing. The only thing bipartisan about last week's vote was Democrats. There were 2 Democrats that voted with Republicans saying, yeah, this isn't something we should be working on right now.
So there have been some closed-door hearings as the House Intelligence Committee gathers some perspectives and some facts and some witness statements and testimony on this process and what people experienced in the events that led up to the impeachment inquiry. Republicans have been critical of that process as well. So tell us what you think about the information that has been gathered so far and how it was gathered.
Well, one, I mean, it stems from a whistleblower, frankly, leaking classified information. But concern that, you know, in their opinion, Donald Trump did something that was wrong. Not really a crime, but just morally wrong, and therefore he should be impeached. And so that's led to people that don't have firsthand accounts, just heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from somebody else, passing it on. Then they're meeting down in the basement with in the House's SCIF classified area to talk about things that are no longer classified. The president released the transcript, and so there's really no reason to do it that way. But what has been done is selectively leaking it. So when we voted last week to launch an impeachment inquiry, at that point in time, no one had access to the transcript. So I went down to the SCIF to say, hey, I'd like to read the evidence. You're asking me to vote to launch an impeachment inquiry on the basis of what? And no one could see the transcript. It was just, well, take our word for it. You really need to move forward on this. And then there were selectively leaked comments that were, you know, leaked to the press by Democrats.
So aside from the process that you and other members of your party have been critical of, what about some of the substance of those leaks, of some of that testimony that has come out? We saw reports just this week that EU Ambassador Gordon Sondland had somewhat established what some have interpreted as a quid pro quo, which is at the center of this inquiry. So has any of the substance of those testimonies that have been leaked or released concerned you at all?
Well, let's look at what is that about Sondland. One, you know, it's mischaracterizing. So when I heard that yesterday, I said, what's the deal with this? He had previously allegedly testified that there was no quid pro quo. There's a phone call. There was a text message, and frankly, Donald Trump personally clarified to him, no, just I want him to do the right thing, basically the anti-corruption campaign he campaigned on. Do that, not a quid pro quo. And that's what someone testified to, allegedly, in the basement down there. And then yesterday, oh, but he said this. No, what happened is he had previous to that, on September 1st, felt that there was, a condition. So in his mind, he had aligned the fact that aid wasn't yet approved with the condition of this public statement from Ukraine. What you show is a week or so later, the president had clarified, no, I don't mean a quid pro quo. I just want him to do the right thing. And so The fact that, someone has made this statement about his reaction to it, that's his reaction to it. That's not an establishment. The president did condition it on the aid. I think the other thing is, if you look at you know, President Zelensky, he's saying there wasn't. He was the person who was officially supposed to be on the call with our president, who was officially supposed to be on the call. And he says there wasn't. And I'd say lastly, you know, the idea that everyone wants to impeach Donald Trump in the Democratic side, but there's no concern about Joe Biden. Well, so Joe Biden's above the law and he's not supposed to be investigated, but Donald Trump's supposed to be investigated. So if you applied an equal standard, we'd be concerned about Joe Biden, and we'd also be concerned about three Democrats in the U.S. Senate who, in writing, conditioned things as a quid pro quo for their support for aid to Ukraine.
There have been some comments about quid pro quos being used in some of our foreign policy, and the defense of them appears to have been that your country has some problems. And so in order to fix those problems, for America to have a better perspective of what's going on there, to feel more comfortable about handing over the aid, this is what needs to happen. But the criticism of what President Trump is accused of doing is that it was only established to benefit him personally. And I just want to be clear that your position is that you have yet to see anything that concerns you about this so far.
I've yet to see anything that I would consider an impeachable offense. And when you look at the corruption that he's talking about a prosecutor being fired for basically trying to prosecute corruption. So, you know, the appearance is that in 2016, there was pressure applied to Ukraine to benefit someone politically. That someone happens to be Joe Biden in this case, and very explicitly Hunter Biden. And so Donald Trump is, how is that not an extension of what is official U.S. policy, is we don't give aid to Ukraine unless we see progress on their anti-corruption efforts. That was a law that was passed in 2014 and reinforced in the 2016 National Defense Appropriations Authorization.
But so you don't view what the president is being accused of, which is asking for an investigation into the Biden family, as personally beneficial to him politically rather than as a matter of foreign policy for the country?
Well, I don't ascribe that motive, but what I do say is I don't consider that an impeachable offense.
Okay. Well, we heard today via Bloomberg News that House Intelligence Committee Chairman Democrat Adam Schiff of California says it will hold its first open hearings on this matter next week. What are your thoughts on that process moving to more of a public manner?
Well, we've supported an open process from the beginning because there's no longer classified content. And if there were, then of course, then you can do as normal hearings. You say, well, I can't comment on this setting. And then you have a second hearing and you do it in a classified setting. So having public hearings is real progress. But frankly, the 1031 vote, part of the reason there was no Republican support for it, all the power for this is given to Adam Schiff. So the only thing he was obligated to do by that vote on 1031 was to have one single public hearing. So he's already committed to more than double, you know, to go to two times as much as he's obligated to do. So two hearings. And I am looking forward to hearing public testimony, and in particular, hearing from Bill Taylor.
Congressman Warren Davidson, a Republican of Ohio's 8th Congressional District. We appreciate you so much taking some time to talk with us, Congressman.
Thanks for covering it.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.